Good morning, everybody. It's lovely to have this opportunity, even on this very warm morning. And I do promise that I will be brief. Those of you who are from Winmalee will know that it does occasionally happen. We are going to look today and throughout this year, God willing, at the letter to the Hebrews. The letter to the Hebrews. Let's turn to that first chapter. I would like to concentrate on the first three verses. And the writer, the unknown writer, says this: God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Now, it's customary at the beginning of a sermon, they tell us, to immediately catch the attention of the congregation. Now, those of you who were here some months ago when I had the privilege of sharing a little of our mission work in Chad, you may remember that I mentioned briefly, among other things, something of our medical work. Judy was involved in that. But also that it fell to my lot to do the teeth extractions. Now, without going into a lot of detail, I would proceed something like this. When a patient came in, I would sit them down on a wooden bench outside the back of the house on the ground there, and seeing them seated, then I would fetch the crowbar from the tool shed. I always used the crowbar whenever a patient came for an extraction, because I found that this to be the best implement to use on these occasions. After all, I did need it to make a circular hole in the sand for the patient to spit into after rinsing out his mouth with some Condi's crystal solution that I made up, and also to pop the tooth into after I had extracted it, using, of course, the correct pair of forceps. Now, by relating this, I think I may have your attention, your undivided attention. But, you know, when we come to this letter to the Hebrews, I personally believe that this is exactly what the writer wanted to do. He wanted to get our attention focused immediately on the one through whom God has spoken to us in these last days, even his Son. That's what he wanted to do. This is what this letter to the Hebrews is all about. For the whole theme of this book is this: it is the superiority of the Son of God over all else. He wanted, when he used that unknown writer, and he wants today too, to catch our attention with him. For throughout the letter, those of you who are familiar with it, you will have noted that our Lord Jesus Christ, says the writer, is far better than everyone else. Far better. Whether they be all the prophets of the Old Testament scriptures, through whom God had previously spoken, or whether it be all the angels that heaven can boast, or whether it be even a prophet like Moses, or a leader like Joshua, who would take the people into the promised land. He's better also than an Aaron, the high priest of the Levitical order, and he's better than all the Levitical priests that were with him at that time and who followed after they had left the scene. For the priesthood of our Lord Jesus Christ is called his great high priesthood, and that priesthood is far better than theirs could ever be. And God willing, we will be expanding on all of these on future occasions. Let's hope that it might be a little cooler then. But the unknown writer, under the inspiration of God's Holy Spirit, you know, he doesn't waste words. For even these first three verses that we read together are really what we might term embryonic of the whole of the 13 chapters. For they contain concisely what the whole of the letter is saying. And these three verses disclose just who God's blessed Son is, as is found right throughout the letter. The Lord Jesus had different titles, not only as the Son of God, of course that's his position, but his titles, or we might term his office or his offices, are found here. For throughout the scripture, and indeed throughout this letter, we see him brought to us and presented in his office as prophet, and his office as priest, and his office as king. They are there. We see that as prophet because in verse 1, God has spoken to us by his Son. We see him as priest. He himself has purged our sins. That really means he has brought about perfect cleansing for us. He's purged our sins. He himself has accomplished our cleansing of our sins and the very riddance of them and the riddance of the guilt that went with them. Have you ever thought of that? He's purged our sins. He's the one who died to cleanse us and to clear our record of all sins. As priest, he not only had to be able to offer a sacrifice, but in his case, the case of our Lord Jesus Christ, our great high priest, he himself was that sacrifice on Calvary. And so there he was, not only as prophet bringing God's word to us, God speaking to us through his Son, but also as priest. He himself has purged our sins, but also in his office, his exalted position as king. For having purged our sins, we are told that he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. That throne which would last forever and ever, of which we would read later on in this same chapter. He sat down there because he is the heir of all things. He is the creator of all things, and he is the upholder of all things. just to consider that he spoke and it was so. And he continues to speak and upholds all things by his powerful word. And this is the one that the writer is bringing to us in this letter to the Hebrews. As prophet, priest, and king. And we saw that the way that God spoke to the Jewish fathers was, as we're told, at various times and in various ways. What he means there, at various times, was it was progressively over a period of some 1600 years. At various times. Sometimes he would speak in to someone who would write one chapter only, and that would be Obadiah in the Old Testament. Other times he would speak through an Isaiah or a Jeremiah who wrote many chapters concerning this one who was to come. He spoke at various times, progressively. But he also spoke in various ways. Sometimes it would be through an angel of the Lord, as Pastor has mentioned already. Manoah came to him in that way. Sometimes it would be through dreams. Sometimes it would be through visions. God's word would come to his people. Sometimes it would be directly given through his laws, his regulations, and through prophecies pointing to the coming of Christ. But in these various ways that the writer was speaking or had spoken to the fathers, the Jewish fathers, over those 1600 years, those revelations of him, what God's word to them, was always looking to the future. Those words were partial. They were never really complete. They were never really final. But in speaking through his Son, God has given us his final declaration, his final word. For the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, was the Word, who became flesh and dwelt among us. And the Apostle John, in writing of him, said, "And we saw his glory." That's what the writer to the Hebrews is speaking about. Verse 3, "Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person." The brightness of God's glory, the very outshining of all that God is in his glorious nature. His attributes, we might call them. All that God is. That's glorious. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the outshining of all of that. To you and to me. He's the brightness of God's glory. And as to his character, we have it here too. And he is the express image of his person. He had God's exact stamp on him. And the writer has used the same word as is used of an engraving tool from which a die was cut to make a coin. A die to make a coin. And when the die was made and was put into operation and was pressed against the metal and lifted off, the coin had the exact representation of what was on the die. And Christ is the exact representation of God. So when we look at Christ, we are able to see God. Mankind is struggling today to find the Lord. A pastor mentioned last week regarding Walter, wasn't it? Who brought that word to that German shopkeeper who was searching for God. He didn't know how to find him. And Walter was able to explain to him that the Lord Jesus, God's Son, is the way. He's the truth. He's the life. And that no one can come to the Father except through him. He is the exact representation of all that God is. All that God is. He is the express image of the invisible God, said the Apostle Paul when he wrote to the church at Colossae. When we were translating the New Testament, I was working with three men, African men, there, and we were doing Colossians. And they said to me, Monsieur, how can we have an image of someone who is invisible? And after much prayer and thought and some help was given, we translated that scripture, his express image of the invisible God, this way, that Christ, whom we have seen, has shown us God, whom we cannot see with our eyes. We look at Christ and we see God. And that's what the Lord was wanting to say to these Jewish believers. God has spoken unto us in these last days by his Son. And as we bring our time together to a close today, and as that better priest as well, at the end of the ages he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And so, having purged our sins, having brought that thorough cleansing, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. He sat down because his work was completed. And this is so lovely, we see this right throughout this book. The Lord Jesus sat down in contrast to the priests, the Levitical priests who had to stand and to go about their work that way. The Lord Jesus sat down at the right hand of God. His work was complete. And that right hand of God is a place not only of completion, not only is it also a place of honour, which it is, but that place was reserved for one of equal rank with the one on the throne. And what does that say to us of our Lord Jesus Christ? But that he is no less than God. God the Son. Prophet, priest, and king. and all-powerful God, our all-powerful God, the Son. This is the one who is eligible to be the final revealer of God's revelation to us, the final revealer. This is the one he sent because he so loved the world. And he says that whoever believes in him will not perish, will not be lost, but will have eternal life through his completed work. It's finished. He doesn't have to die again. He has finished that work. We must enter into that God's way through repentance of our sin, of turning from our sin, and of believing that the Lord Jesus Christ is all we will ever need to bring us to God. God has spoken through his Son to catch our attention and our trust. May I ask, does he fully have yours today? Let's bow together in prayer, shall we? Loving Father, we do thank you from our hearts that the Lord Jesus, your Son, is perfect indeed in all his ways. We just ask that we will allow him to have that first place, that preeminence that is his, also in our hearts and lives. For Lord, we ask it in his precious and worthy name. Amen. Amen. In closing, let's sing that lovely hymn number 50 together. Number 50. Fairest Lord Jesus, ruler of all nature, O thou of God and man the Son, thee will I cherish, thee will I honour, thou my soul's glory, joy and crown. Just keeping our seats, number 50.